There's an infinite number of monkeys out here who once told us about the script for Hamlet they worked out.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into a fascinating new novel, Scar, by Lee Hopkins. It's definitely a crime thriller, gripping stuff, but it goes deeper, you know, into these worlds where trauma isn't just background, it's used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And justice, well, it's very murky.
It really does. And what struck me is how it flips that classic detective story. The heroes here, they aren't just solving trauma inflicted on others. They are profoundly shaped by our own. They almost become like mirrors of the broken systems they're fighting against.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you rethink resilience, doesn't it? Especially when your own history can be turned against you like that.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today, let's try and pull out the key insights. The main characters, this really chilling antagonist, and maybe some of those bigger questions the book throws up about endurance.
Sounds good. Where should we start? The characters seem central.
Definitely. Let's start there, because Forged by Fire feels like an understatement. Take Stephanie McBride. She's ex-SAPOL, South Australia police.
Yeah.
Just deeply scarred. The book uses this metaphor, the cracked mirror. Every crack is a past trauma, like a horrific child abuse case, Logan getting shot protecting her, Rebecca Walsh vanishing, and her partner Dave's suicide.
Right. And those aren't just backstory elements. They actively drive her. They explain why she bends the rules, why she pursues this very personal, very costly version of justice.
But like, her damage is her engine. But is that strength or weakness?
Well, that's the question the book keeps asking, isn't it? Her trauma arguably makes her see things others miss, but it also makes her vulnerable, maybe reckless. She embodies the cost of working within or maybe against a system that's failed.
And she's got Logan Robinson alongside her, brilliant hacker, but just as damaged, right?
Mm-hmm.
His apartment is described as like a server farm that had an existential crisis and exploded.
Huh. Yeah, great description. He operates outside the lines, too, using tech to find justice for people the official channels have let down. Their partnership is really the core engine of the plot, navigating this dark world.
It is. He's the digital side. She's the physical legwork. And maybe their shared damage.
Yeah.
It gives them a kind of unique insight, especially against what they're facing.
Which leads us perfectly to the antagonist, Dr. Cassandra White and her Institute for Advanced Psychological Research.
Now, the book is clear. This isn't some, you know, fringe cult. It's described as an industry.
Exactly. An industry based on systematically conditioning traumatized children. They call them subjects, turning them into human assets.
Assets deployed everywhere. Corporate spying, government intel, even inside SEPICOL itself.
Hmm.
It's chilling because it's presented as so scientific, so industrial scale.
And that's what's terrifying. It exploits the very systems meant to help foster care, police forces. It weaponizes trust, targets the vulnerable, and shows how easily institutions can be compromised right under our noses.
So how does Stephanie Logan even begin to tackle something like that?
Yeah.
It leads to this massive decision, doesn't it? To infiltrate the Institute's facility in Bangkok.
Yeah, a huge risk. And the turning point. God, it's intense. They realize they haven't just infiltrated, they've been caught. They've become subjects themselves, facing that same systematic conditioning.
Suddenly, they're not investigators anymore. They're victims, experiencing the Institute's methods firsthand.
Which powerfully shows how effective, how brutal those methods are. Even people as resilient, as hardened as them, are vulnerable to this kind of optimized psychological destruction.
So what's left after that? I mean, the Institute is eventually shut down, but the cost?
It's immense. Neither of them is the same. Stephanie manages a partial recovery from, like, neural modification they did on her. She finds a new role, and her mirror reflects survival now, not just damage.
But Logan,
mm-hmm.
His outcome is much darker. Near total personality destruction, the book says. He's still fighting, but viewing his own memories through bulletproof glass.
That bulletproof glass metaphor, it's haunting. It speaks to that fragment itself. And Stephanie's survival is a guarded kind, isn't it? Shows the scars remain, even when the threat is gone.
And then there are the kids they rescued, a long, hard recovery. Plus the chilling idea that many other assets are still out there, undetected. Vigilance is eternal. That line really sticks.
Mm-hmm. It underscores that the trauma lingers systemically, too.
So wrapping up, Scar really is this deep, quite unsettling look at what justice costs and how trauma echoes. Not just for people, but through our institutions.
Yeah, and it pushes beyond that. It makes you ask, how do we even spot this kind of sophisticated manipulation when it can come from within the systems meant to protect us? When memory itself becomes a battlefield.
It leaves you with a tough thought, doesn't it? Is real resilience about healing the wounds completely? Or is it more about learning how to operate in a world where damage itself can be turned into a weapon.